All righty, we're back now with Salem News reporter Paul Layton. Paul, welcome back to MSO.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, I certainly appreciate chatting with you whenever we can, and thank you so much. I want to start right off at the top, Paul, with news in today's paper, articles written by you, and you've been following this for quite a while, concerning Black Lives Matter in the area. So maybe you could give us a little update on what you've been reporting.
Sure. Well, just the other day I covered, Tuesday, I covered a rally that was held in front of Beverly City Hall, and the intention was to have a march from Beverly to Marble Head to protest or call attention to the fact that Black Lives Matter banners or flags are either stolen or vandalized in both Beverly and Marble Head. And it turned out there were threat of thunderstorms that day, so they didn't do the march. They're actually going to do the march tomorrow, but they did hold a rally with about 75 people. And a story in today's paper about police in Wenham and Marble Head have solved these cases of stolen banners or vandalized banners. So there's been a lot going on with that. There's a lot of movement. It doesn't seem to be waning. I know in Beverly, I think it was last month, some high school students organized a rally and a march, and they had like 1,000 people show up, you know. So that momentum is continuing on the North Shore, it seems like, and it's something that that we keep covering and will continue to cover.
I talked to a couple of ladies about a month ago as well from Wenham that you did a story on, and can you maybe give us a little review on that, because they were in the process of beginning a North Shore chapter of the NAACP.
Yes, that is the next step, and it's a group, you know, as you said, from Hamilton, Wenham, and I think it shows that people, you know, you can have, you know, rallies and marches and so forth, and that's great, but everybody who speaks at these events says that there needs to be follow-through. You know, what are you going to do beyond protesting in terms of social justice and police brutality and equality and this, and, you know, so I think everybody is looking to take that next step, and forming this group is that kind of step. You know, let's organize and let's see what we can do. So I think that's what, that'll be the next aspect of the stories we write, is what exactly is going to happen, what changes are going to be made, can people put this momentum to use and actually make some changes in their communities.
Yeah, I've seen small demonstrations throughout the North Shore, and not to make light of it, but there's no sign of a national police force hitting the North Shore. I think people are doing, as you said, they're trying to mobilize in a positive fashion and get to that next level. So it's been kind of cool to watch all over the area.
Yeah, it is, and I was talking to, and I have to admit that, you know, I've been writing stories for a lot of years on the North Shore, and I have to admit I've not written about, you know, people of color, you know, perhaps as much as we should have over the years. You know, I think everybody's looking at their own actions and trying to see what they can do, you know, differently. So this is certainly an opportunity to get all these points of view in the newspaper, and it's an interesting time. It really is.
Yeah, I think we're in the middle of a long, teachable moment here, and we'll have to see where it ends up.
Right.
Paul, shifting gears here a little bit, you know, high schools, all schools getting ready to reopen, and I put reopen in quotes, and nobody knows what that's going to look like. There are a couple of stories that you've been working on, one involving graduations and another one involving coverage that you'll be looking at tonight. So what about that stuff?
Yes, well, all of our school committees in the communities we cover in the process of, you know, reviewing these plans, you know, for how to reopen schools. And what the state has told all the school districts and the superintendents is to come up with these three options, you know, a digital-only version, an in-person-only version, and a hybrid version. And so the superintendents have been you know, presenting these to the school committees, and that's sort of a three-step process. There's a meeting in Beverly tonight. It's their second meeting in this step to review it. And So I don't know what's going to happen with these. It's really, you know, like everything else during the pandemic, it can change by the day. And I just, you know, in terms of one specific, the superintendent in Beverly presented the plan last week, and they looked at, well, what would happen if we had all the desks 6 feet apart, you know, which is one of the recommendations. And in most of the schools, they just physically couldn't do it. They wouldn't have enough classrooms to put all the kids in at 6 feet apart. So the superintendent, Dr. Jarachek, came up with versions of what would happen at 4.5 feet and what would happen at 3 feet. So these are the type of details that school officials are getting into, and these are the decisions that are going to have to be made. And the teachers' unions are starting to speak up, not starting to, but have been speaking up on this too, and they have lots of concerns with safety. So I don't know, your decisions need to be made by, I think, at August 10th. The state has the school districts need to submit their plans for approval. So all these big decisions are going to be made in the next week or so.
There are so many questions and so many, I think, unanswerable questions at the moment. And just as you were saying that, Paul, I was thinking, well, you know, if you go to a restaurant, the tables are set far apart. It's very comfortable. But after each party leaves, you know, the tables are sanitized. And how do you do that with desks? How do you do that when you change periods 5-6 times a day?
Right.
You know, whether you've got them 6 feet or 3 feet apart, it's just, there's so many questions. My goodness, I don't envy educators, parents, or kids at this point. And, geez, I hope they can come up with something viable. My goodness.
No, I hope so, too. I think you're right. And I do, you know, I have, you have to give credit for not just in the schools, but businesses and everybody who's dealing with these, this pandemic and how to reopen and who are involved in, you know, making these decisions. There's so much, one thing I found out in writing about these stories, there's so much work involved in coming up with plans. And, you know, usually in the newspaper business, you know, we sort of, you know, we cast a critical eye and we maybe second guess sometimes. And I'm saying that, you know, with some of these decisions, I just don't know what the right thing to do is. And I give these people credit for, I think what I'm saying is people are putting in a lot of work trying to do the right thing, you know, and, but like you said, it's just also wide open. It's really day to day at this point.
Well, stay tuned, and that's going to keep you busy for a while. I know that.
There were plenty of stories, and that's what. There's always something different, so that's interesting. It's okay.
How about graduations, Paul? Have there been graduations that have taken place?
Yes, there have been some. You know, Hamilton Wenham held theirs last Saturday on the football field, the athletic field behind the high school, and. And most of the, I did a roundup story, I'm just looking at it now. There's quite a few this weekend. Danvers, Essex Tech, and Peabody, Masconoma are all holding their graduations on Saturday. They're all similar in that they're on their football fields, athletic fields. You know, they're obviously outdoors, spread out. I think everybody is limiting graduates to 2 guests each, you know, mm-hmm. which can be difficult, but it's understandable. Beverly High School is holding theirs on Sunday on the football field. Beverly's not actually calling it a graduation because they held their graduation a month or so ago at the high school on a temporary stage outside, and students showed up sort of in waves alphabetically and got their diplomas on the stage. So it's, nothing is the same, right?
Oh my gosh! You know, no, gotta. Yeah. I'm waiting for the vaccine, man. We gotta hang on. Oh God! You know, finally, Paul. I know in Gloucester, the fraternal organization of Moose closed a while ago, and now I'm reading about Salem's Moose Club is closing down. And is this the beginning of the end for some fraternal organizations, or what's the deal with the Moose in Salem?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to decide if it's sort of a trend. And what happened was, I mean, this is the club that's been around for more than 100 years in Salem, and they do a lot of charitable work. They do, they've done for years dinners for seniors on Easter and Thanksgiving. And, you know, but they said in talking to, you know, the people at the club, their membership was actually fairly strong. I think it was around 400 people. So at first, when I heard they were closing, I thought it was another one of those stories which had done over the years of these social clubs, you know, the Elks and the Moose and the Lions that have been around for years, where it's hard to get newer and younger members. But they said that was not the case in this instance. It was strictly caused by the pandemic. They've obviously been shut down since March, and they have to keep paying rent. They have no revenue coming in, and a lot of these clubs, you know, they operate on pretty small margins. You know, they just have to bring in as much money as they spend, you know, on charitable causes. So they said they just couldn't do it anymore. The board of directors would have been on the hook if they took out a loan. You know, personally been on the hook, and they couldn't do that. And it's funny, since I wrote the story, I've gotten a couple of emails from Moose clubs around the country, how they're, you know, fraternal organization, and they've said that they're struggling too, you know. So we might, I don't know, we might see more closures of these clubs. It's just another of the many impacts of the pandemic and the shutdown.
Yeah, I know, and these service organizations do such great work. It's a shame. Paul, that is Paul Layton of the Salem News, and you can catch all of his articles at salemnews.com as well, but go out and buy the paper.
Yes, I agree, Rick.
Okay. Hey, Paul, it's great talking with you as always. Happy vacation. I'll check in with you in a few weeks.
All right. Thanks, Rick, and thanks for all that you guys do, too. I really appreciate it.
You're very kind. Paul, take care. Stay safe.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.